scared to death of Carol. He starts talking and you all sit down and you're quiet. Usually they have to whistle and stomp and yell, but you folks do very well. And where's Fred? Did you pick out all that music, Fred? They were very meaningful to you, I know, and it was a time of wonderful worship. I want to thank you for the spirit where the congregation could worship the Lord and give thanks. It is a joy to be with you, and I want to take a moment to introduce several special friends. My bride, Joellen, right here. She's the grandmother of 16 children. Only three boys, 16 children. She loves being a grandmother, except for being married to a grandfather. You know how that is. And then her younger brother, Jim Comden, is right back there. And a great-grandson, Keaton. They're staying with us for the rest of this week, and it's good to have them here. And then I don't know if you've ever met Bob and Ellen Corthius. Bob, I'm going to have you share a few minutes from now, because I have some pictures I want to show first that relate to what you're doing. But Bob and Ellen are from out east, and they have a wonderful ministry called Preston Ranch. And how many houses out there do you have now? Five houses. With about 12 kids in each house, it's a great ministry, great place. But there's something going on this weekend, and I'm going to have Bob kind of push on that. And I just thought to myself this morning, this is my kind of place. No ties, no jackets, and then Fred walks up with a jacket on. I've known him for a long time, so I can get away from that. Now we'll see if this thing works. It does. Joellen and I just returned from a long weekend down in New Mexico. They have something called a Tom Buford. Take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. I don't know if you've ever heard these questions asked of you, but the questions go together. Have you not known, and have you not heard? I first heard those words, I think, when I was just a young Marine in the Marine Corps. I'd probably been in for 6 months or a year, and I was stationed at Camp Pendleton in a radio relay outfit, and I no sooner had gotten there when they had told me that there was a Marine, what they call an IG, Inspecting General Inspection. How many of you guys who are in the military know about IG inspections? You know, they go around and really important stuff. Check the top of a wall locker, see if there's any dust. You got to have your beds perfectly straight, just about like these pews are. And your bed has to be made perfect, and everything has to be arranged in your wall locker and your foot locker. Can't have any civilian clothes in the barracks. Rifles cleaned, teeth shined. We went through a whole weekend of preparing for this thing. And Monday morning came, and you couldn't sit on the edge of the bed or because you can't wrinkle it. You know, IG inspection. So here are the guys sitting on the floor, ready to stand at attention when they come in. And all of a sudden, after about an hour wait, this guy broke into the barracks. He says, "Haven't you heard? Don't you know? They've canceled the inspection. They went somewhere else. They're not coming here." And I have to admit that some of us yelled and some of us screamed because here we'd worked all weekend and this guy didn't even show up. But those words, "Have you not known and have you not heard?" By the way, when I read that in the scripture, I was just, wow, I've said that before. I've heard that. Well, listen to the words of Isaiah 40 and verse 28. By the way, I've got some notes prepared. We're going to have to go like a wild Indian to get through this. And if you can't keep up and can't write the words fast enough, their answers are around the back on the bottom. So don't even worry about filling it out. You can do it later if you want to. But Isaiah 40, 28 says, "Have you not known, have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, The creator of the ends of the earth faints not, neither is weary. There is no comprehension or comprehending of his great understanding. And the first thing I see in that verse is, number one, a description of God's greatness. God's greatness. The first term that he uses in referring to the Lord, have you not heard it, that the everlasting God, it's one of the names of the Lord. In the Hebrew, it's El Olam. El for Elohim. Olam is the everlasting. But the word everlasting is quite interesting. It means literally beyond the vanishing point. Now, what in the world does that mean? There's a place in the San Luis Valley that has a road. Know what the name of that place is, Bob? It's called the Gun Barrel, isn't it? And it goes for miles. Are you from the San Luis Valley, Carol? And I tell you, if you look down that road, even on a clear day, what starts out as a wide road gets narrower and narrower and goes until it, well, it disappears from sight. But the road keeps going. And that is the everlasting God. You can look all you want to, but his beginning and his end are beyond the vanishing point, beyond anything we can imagine. And it literally can be translated, El Olam, the everlasting God, but it can be also understood to mean the unchangeable God, the God who never changes, straight as an arrow, keeps on going. And that's the Lord. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. I love the words of Psalm 90 in verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever that you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Of course, you know Hebrews, where Scripture says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But then we come not only to the everlasting God, a description of God's greatness, but you'll also find the word the Lord. When you find the word Lord all in capital letters, what does that mean? I'm sure Dave has told you. It's the word Jehovah. It isn't just somebody who's a little bit bigger, but it's referring to Jehovah, the one who says, I am that I am. Remember Moses was kneeling before the bush, and God says, I want you to go down to Egypt and tell them I'm going to deliver them. And Moses asked a perfectly logical question. When I tell them that our God is going to lead us, what is your name? And the Lord said, I am Jehovah. I am that I am. Jesus used that term. Before Abraham was, I am. It's referring to the God who is everything that his name implies. Now, a couple of things that I have here in your notes. Jehovah is the eternal and the self-existent God. Nobody created him. I can understand eternity, future, and we're going to be part of that. We're everlasting. But eternity past, nobody can understand that. But that is the character of our God, his greatness. And I just want to very quickly go through several things about that name. I never see the name Jehovah, L, capital O-R-D, without thinking about I am that I am. I am what? Well, those names are put together often as compound names. I have that in that square there. The other name of Jehovah is often the name of Jehovah is found in Scripture as a compound name, indicating that he is everything that his name implies. The first thing is a wonderful name, Jehovah Tsidkenu. Jehovah Tsidkenu means the Lord is my righteousness. Now, Satan doesn't want you to believe that. But the very fact is, even though you feel filthy and defeated and you still have a sin nature, the Lord himself sees us as the righteousness of Christ. He sees us through shaded glasses, if you will. He's looking through the blood of Christ. He sees us as sinless, righteous. For he has made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And even Isaiah spoke of that, where he had great joy because the Lord has clothed him with robes of righteousness. And he's covered him over with the robe of his righteousness. Well, he is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord who is my righteousness. Jehovah Shema means the Lord is present. Not just here, everywhere, but specifically in our hearts, in our lives. Jesus said he would send the Comforter and he will never leave you. Remember that? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And the Spirit himself comes and indwells within our hearts. I tell you, even when you sin, the Spirit of God is there. What does he do when we sin? He convicts us big time. I can tell you that when we grieve the Holy Spirit, the grieving of the Spirit can be sensed by ourselves as tremendous depression. We're really down. And the more we sin, the worse it gets. And I can tell you that I'm thankful for the convicting power of the Spirit of God. He's our comforter. He's the one that nails us when we go do our own thing. Whether it's a sin in our hearts, our heads, or our bodies, whatever it may be, he is the Lord, our comforter. He's the one that dwells within us. A C is Jehovah Mkadesh. It means the Lord who sanctifies. He's the Lord who changes hearts. You parents, some of you, your kids have grown up and maybe they've moved away from home and are just not walking with God like they used to. You can never change them. Only the Spirit of God can change them. He is the Lord who sanctifies. And when you have a situation like that, or regarding yourself, Lord, sanctify me. Transform me. Change my heart, O Lord. He's the Lord who sanctifies. Jehovah El Elyon means the Lord is the Lord Most High. It's found in Genesis chapter 14. Jehovah Elyon means the Lord God, Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth. When Abraham found out that name, he had just saved Lot and the kings of Sodom, and they offered to give him all the rewards, and he said, I'm not taking a penny. The Lord is the possessor of heaven and earth, and he is worthy of everything. He gave a tithe to Melchizedek, who I personally think may have been a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord himself. But regardless of all that, he is the Lord Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth. What belongs to him? Everything. I used to think 90% is mine, 10% is the Lord. And I discovered something, that everything I have is really his. Amen? I could tell you horror stories of when I claimed my possessions. And God said, you know, I don't think you really need that anymore. I wish I had time to tell you of some of these things, but I've discovered that everything we have belongs to the Lord. As Jehovah El Elyon, the Lord Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar he's also the ruler of the earth. You think you're in control of things? You really are not. I don't know what you think of President Trump, and I don't know what you thought of Mr. Obama, but I want you to know something. The Lord is in control. He is Lord. Amen? I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I have a friend who is just nervous about the future. And I'm convinced that we can trust him. Doesn't mean you don't put an extra pound of beans in the cupboard. Take care of your family. But don't you sit there and live in fret and worry. Because he's the Lord who rules the world. He's the one who puts people into authority and removes them. And even though this world is full of sin and evil, the Lord is ultimately in control, and he's gonna fix things one of these days when he says, Behold, I make all things new. E is Jehovah Sabaoth, and it means the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the armies of heaven, who not only defends us, but he fights our battles for us. I remember the story in 2 Kings about Elisha. And he was in Dothan, and the Assyrians came in because they wanted to kill him. And he went out one morning, and his servant came out just panic-stricken. Look at all these soldiers around us. And Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes, let him see. And there was a host the armies of heaven. Folks, that host encamps around us also. And when you find yourself in conflict, you call upon the one whose name is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of hosts. It makes me think of the time when Joshua had just crossed the river, and they're outside of Jericho. And he saw this individual with a sword drawn, and he walks up. And how many of you were in the military? Fred, you were. And Jim, you know what Joshua did? He yelled, "Halt! Who goes there?" How'd you like to say that to the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, fall down on your knees and take your shoes off. You're in the presence of deity. He's the Lord of hosts, one that we can trust. The next one is Jehovah Nissi, means the Lord, our banner of victory. Remember, Moses was up, and when he held his hands up, the armies of Israel were beating the Amalekites. But when his hands got heavy, Aaron and Hur held his hands up. And at the end of the day, they had vanquished their enemies, and Moses named that place, "The Lord is my banner of victory." I tell you, I have a banner. It's not the Republican Party. It's not the Democrat Party. It's not even the Denver Broncos. My banner is the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can wave that banner, and you can anticipate victory. Jehovah Shalom, you probably already know what that means, the Lord of Peace. Your heart is full of sorrow and difficulties, tribulations. Remember that He is the Lord of Peace. All those wonderful words that you'll find in Romans 5:1, John 14 and 16, where Jesus promised peace. He's the Lord of peace. That's his name, Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Rophi means the Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 23 and John chapter 10. The Lord is my shepherd is what David said. What do I need? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Jehovah Rophi. Jehovah Jireh, anybody know what that means? The Lord provides. That's the name that Abraham gave to a place on the top of a hill when he was commanded to sacrifice his son. And the Lord provided. He provided the lamb. He's still providing for us. Our God shall supply every need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. He's the Lord who provides. Jehovah Rapha means the Lord who heals. Fred, you're still here because the Lord's not done with you. I had open heart surgery in January. They didn't tell me. They took my heart out, put it on a table, and worked on it. And they set that thing back in there. They crossed a couple wires. I think the orange and the red one, because now I've lost my taste. Everything tastes like sweet ammonia. Bob and Ellen, we're going to go out for dinner. I don't care where we go. It all tastes the same, even coffee. But He is the Lord who heals. It's a remarkable thing. You think that's funny? It is not funny after about 3 months. Anyway, He's the Lord who heals. And then Jehovah Kezek, the Lord my rock. David wrote Psalm 18:2, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I trust, my shield. He's the horn of my salvation and my high tower. He's my rock." And when you feel yourself standing on shifting grounds, like in our society, understand that the Lord Himself is our rock. Just a word of warning. You know, Jesus said to His disciples, "Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." I believe that taking the name of the Lord in vain is not just cussing. I believe it's ignoring His name when you have a particular need. He's the Lord who heals. He's the Lord who provides. He's the Lord who sanctifies. He's the Lord who is my shepherd when I feel lost. All these things we need to learn to count on Him. Well, I started out primarily with this message to teach you verses 28 and 29. So we need to return to Isaiah chapter 40. But wonderful things are given unto us. Let's read that verse 28 again. "Have you not known and have you not heard?" that the everlasting God, El Olam, the Lord, Jehovah, the creator of the ends of the earth, there's no time to even expound that. But there is a creator. There is a divine designer. Well, you can't even have a Chevy without somebody having drawn some plans. Or anything, including a matchstick. And the arrogant atheists say, we all happened by accident. What a bunch of baloney. We could spend a lot of time on that very topic. But I look at the little bird outside my window when it's 10 degrees or 10 below and he's flying around. Dear God, how do you keep that little bird from freezing? And he creates all these things. Or take the wheat that comes out of the Egyptian tombs. It's been there for 3,000 years. Dry as dry can be. Dry as Alamosa, almost, you know? That place down there in the valley, Carol, you know? And you stick it in the ground, put some water on it, and only God can create. Only God can be the spark of life. Isn't he something, the creator? And all those stars out there, he knows them by name. And he knows us. He even counts the hair on our head. My numbers are going down, so are yours, you know? But it's he is the creator of the ends of the earth. The earth and everything in it. Wow. But notice the next phrase. This is perhaps the most incredible. The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. He never gets tired. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. Now, some of you may wake up in the morning and say, good morning, Lord. But he's already been awake, you know. You wake up, you want to say good morning, Jesus, that's fine. But he never sleeps or slumbers. It's an incredible thing. Somebody might say, well, you know, the Lord rested. Well, yes, he did. He created things in 6 days, I believe. And on the seventh day, he rested. You know what that rested means? Doesn't mean he was tired. I don't know if you've ever built something or painted a room or worked on something and then just stood back. That's cool. Wow. That's very good. His rest was one of delight. His rest was one of completion. And the Lord rested, not because he was tired. Well, you find that there is no comprehending his understanding. I mean, the Lord himself is far beyond our comprehension. But notice verse 29 as we move on to point number two. He gives power to the faint, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. You ought to circle or underline those words, he gives. This is a declaration of God's grace. And by the way, grace simply means God gives. I think of 2 Corinthians 8:9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, and yet for your sakes he became poor so that you through his poverty might become rich. I can't even comprehend that. The Lord took on all that he did for you and for me. He's the Lord who gives. There was a declaration of God's greatness. Now the declaration of God's grace. He's the God who gives. And then you read verses 40 to 30. 30 to 31. Listen to these words. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. By the way, I know we all have our heroes in football, baseball, whatever. You know there's a passage of Scripture where God says he doesn't delight in the legs of man? You can say anything you want to about these football heroes. God is not just, whoo, you know. Well, the fact is, he created them. He gave them that ability. He doesn't delight in necessarily our accomplishments. He delights in our what? Our faith, our love. And, well, even the youths, including you guys, you're young. Whew, you know, I wouldn't want to follow Casey or any of you guys up the mountain. Honey, I got to tell him. I went on a hike with a 90-year-old lady a couple weeks ago. She about killed me. You know, I don't know about her losing strength, but I'm going to think about going with her again, you know. Well, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. That's our family verse. I love that verse. But I love it in the garden which is planted, the context, where it starts giving us a description of God's grace and greatness, and where now he tells us a demonstration of God's goodness. He renews and restores strength to those who wait on him, like an eagle with outstretched wings. I tell you, I don't know any other word that I don't like more than the word wait. You know, that's a toughie. And for me in ministry, there's another activity the first week of September down on Window Rock. There'll be 150,000 Navajos there, and we've run out of time. And we've also run out of resources. And for me to wait on the Lord and say, God, I will not go. You know, if you ask the Jews out in the desert, when do you move? When did they move? When the Lord moved. Don't take off by yourself. You're going to be out in the sunshine, and it's scorching hot out there. Wait on him. Hardest word I know. Wait on the Lord. By the way, honey, I didn't have a chance to tell you this, but because we're not going down that first weekend to Window Rock, there's an event in Colorado Springs called the Balloon Festival. And people come together for a couple hours in the evening, and they do a glow. And Mesa Hills Bible Church wants us to go with them and hand out thousands of pieces of literature and talk to people about the Lord right in our own town, and we don't have to camp out. We don't even have to pack a cooler and do any cooking, you know. We're just going to go out and do it. And then there's this coming weekend. You know, it's not an accident, Bob, that we somehow connected. And there's a ministry out there. And I may sleep in that chuck wagon. I mean, it's got my name on it. You know, if I sleep in the chuck wagon on Saturday night, Friday night, I'll be ready to go, right? But I hope that some of you will plan to go with it. You ever seen an eagle? They may flap for a little while. They get up there, and all of a sudden the wind currents take them up. 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 feet, half a mile up, and they can look down and see, and they're just gliding around. It's because they've learned to wait on the updraft. They've learned to wait on the Lord. And I certainly need to learn to wait on the Lord. And I bet you do too. Lord, we thank you for this marvelous description of your greatness, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, the one who never gets tired, never faints or is weary. And you take your strength and you give it to us when we become exhausted. What a gracious God you are, and we give you thanks today in Jesus' name. You have a closing song, Fred? You know that? Do you have a closing song? You don't? There was a song that we sang. I Surrender All, was it? What number was that? We can sing it, Joel. You can just play it quickly. Where can we find I Surrender All? Let's stand together and just sing one stanza of that wonderful song. It needs to be our heart that we would learn to surrender all.